Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. If you like this video, if you find it encouraging, comment, share with your friends. Go to calibrateministries.com for more podcast episodes and resources. Well, today, I'm just going to do a short little conversation here about some aspects of gender dysphoria and the whole transgender movement that we're seeing in our culture. Obviously, we look at this, and those of us who are Christians, we are just horrified at what's going on. And it seems to be topic of conversation everywhere. There's all these battles we're fighting, you know, government, politics. Right now, the Supreme Court is considering a couple of cases that have some really big implications. One of them is whether or not Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors is constitutional. I think that they're probably going to make the right choice on that one by all appearances. And so we will see, but there's a lot at stake. And we see these arguments in politics, with women's sports, with bathroom usage, pronouns, within our public schools. It's affecting so many areas of culture. And I've talked about these issues a lot on the podcast. So there's a lot of different episodes you can go to listen to. I just want to talk about a couple of different cultural influences that I'm seeing right now that are really, really intriguing that I think we should be aware of. So one of them is this musician, this band called Cavetown. And I've seen them in a few different places now pop up. I've had people bring them up to me to see what I know. And so I've been doing a lot of digging. And so Cavetown is this really one person musician. It's the singer born as Robin Skinner, a girl that is now a man, goes by Robbie Skinner. I'm going to bring up a picture right here. So that's her on stage. Over the years has shown, you know, a lot more masculine qualities. You can look through her social media and see this transition happening as she was making herself look more and more masculine. And so it's really intriguing to look through like years worth of her Facebook page, Instagram, and see that transformation happening. But the singer, Robin, not only, you know, is transgender herself, but sings about it a lot in her songs. And so she's really become like the stereotypical transgender, like the cultural icon for the transgender movement. And so there's so many people within transgenderism who know Cavetown and who uses her songs is kind of an anthem to celebrate and to relate to when it comes to gender transitions and transgenderism and what all that looks like. So I've been listening to some of her music, and some of it's really, really dark. I see a lot of just pain in it, a lot of darkness, a lot of just struggle, and a lot of, you know, pain and misery. But there's some really interesting dynamics. One of them I've seen is kids who have tried to follow her journey, like down to a T, like making, you know, transitioning genders, but making themselves look just like the singer. And it's not an isolated incident. It's everywhere. And I've been finding, you know, posts from parents whose kids have gone down that road and then realized that Cavetown was this major influence and their child made themselves look like Cavetown. And it's really, really astounding at the number of kids that are not only finding relatability with the lyrics of what she is singing, but who are trying to imitate it. Exactly, that this transformation is transforming genders down to like the hairstyles and piercings and tattoos. I have this video here I want to share of one person who is singing one of the Cavetown songs. And this is really, really sad. So that this girl shares little clips of singing the Cavetown songs at three different parts of her journey as she progresses in her, transing her gender. And so she's been on, testosterone therapy. And so I'm just going to play a couple of little clips so you can kind of see the transition happening. Now this is later on, like a year later, voice is getting deeper. Power through when I need some help from you. And now this final part is present time, and you'll definitely see a much deeper voice, some acne, more masculine features.
I'm really just a kid with two corks in his eyes and a bully in his.
I think that's probably enough. I show this just so that like kids are using Cavetown songs as inspiration for this journey. And what a tragic thing we saw right there of this girl made in God's image as a female and now is transitioning and using, these clips of her singing one of Cavetown's songs as like this progression of how her transition is going. And so I've been seeing stuff like that on social media as these kids follow along in her journey. And sometimes I found pictures of kids who made themselves look exactly like Cavetown. And then I found parents who were just astounded, alarmed. Obviously, they were already alarmed at their child's gender transition, but then all of a sudden they connected the dots to figure out that Cavetown had a major influence on that, and their child was making them look like Robin, the singer. And what a shallow thing to aspire to. What a just shallow, dark, most of us would say silly to not only transition genders, but to make yourself look like one person, one particular musician that you're like kind of idolizing, like you want to replicate what this person has done. And you're so desperate to be someone else that you're making yourself like this exact person. And that's what I see so many times with people who are dealing with gender dysphoria, transitioning genders in some way. They hate who they are, and they're desperate to be someone else. They're desperate to be anyone other than who they are. And such a big part of themselves is their gender. And so they're desperate to escape this feeling of hatred of themselves. And that feeling can come from so many different places. In puberty age kids, it can come from being uncomfortable with their body. And it's, now what teenagers are told is if you're uncomfortable with your body, then you must be trans. And it's like, no, like that's so ridiculous. Like every teenager is uncomfortable with their body. What they need is some shepherding to help them build some security in the Lord and in who they are and accept their body. And that, these changes happening are awkward, but it's a phase, and God has created you something beautiful and wonderful. And it's hitting teenage girls so hard. Teenage girls already have a tendency to be insecure about their bodies, and they need shepherding and security and affirmation, not transgenderism, to deal with this, uncomfortable feeling that they have about their bodies. And so it's so tragic that kids are being led down that path and escaping who God made them to be and escaping their troubles, being told that this is the solution to transition your gender when it's absolutely not. I found a post from Cavetown sharing some pictures of when she was a baby, and it's so heartbreaking. Like, man, like God made you in His image, and so many times I see trans people who will not acknowledge their previous life. They, you know, they demand that their parents take down pictures in their house of them as a child because they don't want a reminder of who they used to be or who they're supposed to be. A really alarming aspect that I saw when I was digging into this cave town band was the assumption made by so many and a celebrating that if someone listens to Cave Town, then they must be LGBTQ and they're probably trans. And it's so alarming that we use such a shallow thing to make such a big judgment. I found this post from a parent that was posted online, and it was really shocking to see. Well, it's interesting the way that the parent even asked this question, but then shocking to see some of the answers here. And so I want to share this post here. So this is a parent who asked this question. They said, "My daughter is 14, and recently she was listening to some music. I liked the sound of it, so I looked up three of the songs were Dysphoria and Snail by Cave Town and The Village by Rabble. Is it likely I actually have a son?" And so, you know, these first two songs are from Cave Town. And so this mom asking, like, well, my daughter is listening to the song, so do I actually have a son? Is my child a son and not a daughter? Like, what a preposterous just assumption, as if you'd be okay with that or should be okay with that. And what a just shallow barometer of your child's gender of a few songs that they're listening to. So, but then some of the comments were so intriguing and equally as alarming. So this first comment that's still on the screen says, "I know you already have received a few answers, but I want to share my experience. It may be similar to that of your child. I would say that it is definitely possible that your child is not cisgendered, since those female to male, those are female to male trans anthems." And so that's what these songs are being used as, is like these anthems to declare who someone is. And so this first commenter is saying that, no, you're, it's possible that your child is not cisgendered since they're listening to these songs. So here's an interesting comment that was one of the responses. So this person said, okay, so trans 15-year-old speaking here, which is so tragic that 15-year-old coming from that experience, ask them about what their dream haircut could be. And if they choose a more masculine haircut, that will give you some info on what gender they want to be perceived as. By the way, I just want to say that you are an amazing parent for automatically saying son instead of the word transgender. We need more parents like you in the world. So there's a couple aspects to break down here. One is that this 15-year-old trans person is saying, that just ask them what hairstyle they would like. And if it's more masculine, it means that, you know, they want to be perceived as such. And that will tell you, it's like, again, what can we get any more shallow here that we're going to ask our 14-year-old what type of haircut they want? And based on that, we will have an understanding of what gender they want to be. But this is everywhere in our world. And this is what people are turning to for advice, for truth. This is where a parent turned to ask this question, and these are the responses they are getting. I thought that the second half of this response was also interesting. It said, "You're an amazing parent for automatically saying son instead of using the word transgender. We need more parents like you in the world." And I think that's reflecting a sentiment that I'm seeing, said a lot of people who have transitioned do not like the word transgender, and they will say that they are not transgender, that, you know, they were a female and they're now a male, and they were always male, they just had the wrong body, so now they fix their body. And so they don't want to be referred to as transgender, they want to be referred to as a man or a son, or, you know, just whatever masculine pronouns, but they would say that they're not transgender. They always were a boy, just with the wrong body. And so the term trans is becoming a little bit, not necessarily offensive, but a little bit rejected by some transgender individuals who say, no, because transgender assumes like changing genders. And they say, no, I've always been this gender. I just now am making my body and my appearance reflect the gender that I always have been. And so that's an interesting aspect of the conversation that I've been seeing recently. So parents everywhere are asking those types of questions, and they're being given ridiculous answers. And parents need to have a understanding of actual truth that only comes from God's word ultimately, but from actual science and biology, not turning to other people and these experiences, and to assume that your daughter might actually be a son because, you know, she's listening to certain music. Listening to that music is definitely a red flag. And I think that as we see, so many of these trans individuals, people with gender confusion influenced by social media, I think that just this aspect of Cave Town and the influence that she's having should be alarming for parents and should be a wake-up call in the influence social media is having. And it's not just obviously Cave Town, but it's everywhere on social media, especially TikTok. You know, I was seeing, you know, teenagers posting in on online, you know, social media sites about, you know, Cave Town was their influence to come out and finally as trans and finally sometimes gave them the idea that like, oh, maybe I was supposed to be a boy and maybe they'll solve my problems. Like that's what kids are finding online. And that's what's giving them the idea many times that they are trans. Certainly there's kids who struggle with gender dysphoria from a younger age, and Cave Town is one of them. And I'm going to show you that post from them here in a minute from their Facebook page. But so many of our kids with gender issues are rapid onset gender dysphoria and this whole social phenomenon. And it's happening overnight. And it's like they weren't struggling with a deep rooted gender dysphoria from a young age. It's like, no, like they're a teenager and they're struggling. And someone tells them that this is the solution to your problem. And they go all in on it. Mm-hmm. And it's tragic. And when it happens so suddenly, you know, it's more of an indication of a social phenomenon, a social contagion, than a deep-rooted, even psychological, expression or psychological disorder that was happening from a young age. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. Another aspect that I'm seeing that, you know, so many people would affirm is that people who have transitioned are just full of so much pain and misery. They're full of pain and misery and darkness, and mental health just takes a nosedive with people who have transitioned. And we see them now, they're struggling with ADHD and depression and anxiety disorders and suicidal thoughts. And there is so much darkness, and I see so much darkness with Cave Town, since I'm kind of, you know, spotlighting Cave Town today. So much darkness in what she is experiencing. I want to play just a clip of one of Cave Town's songs that it just shows some of the darkness.
Are you dead? Sometimes I think I'm dead, because I can feel ghosts and ghouls wrapping my head. But I don't want to fall asleep just yet.
All right. So that one is from one of Cave Town's songs, singing about, I don't want to be dead yet. Like, I don't want to fall asleep yet. Talking about being suicidal. And I see that so many times, you know, of Like, this is making people miserable. It's not this, these gender transitions, it's not solving their problems. It's not giving them peace. It's not helping them whatsoever. And we see that reflected in Cavetown's music. They are miserable. And it's tragic. And I see so many parents whose kids have walked down this road now who were a pretty healthy, stable child until they got this idea in their mind that they're transgender and they started following these influences. And now they have all kinds of psychological issues. And that's where sin and darkness takes us. That's what rejecting God's standard does to us. That's what rejecting our gender does to us. It's not helping people. And yet I still see so many parents who are being manipulated by doctors, by society, saying, well, if you don't help your child transgender or transition genders, they will commit suicide. That is such a horrific, manipulative thing to say to any parent or anyone else. And it's not true. The rate of suicide actually goes up as kids get further into their gender transitions. And it's not helping them. It's having horrible negative effects on their mental health. As I was looking into Cavetown here, I was reading some blog posts and some threads on Reddit from transgender individuals, and I came across this long comment by someone who I thought was just so heartbreaking. So I wanted to read the entire thing. It's several paragraphs, so bear with me. I usually don't just read something this long, but I think it's really, really telling of where some of this gender-affirming care is actually taking people. So it says, I'm 33, female to male. I was on low-dose testosterone from 2021 to 2022, stopped for a year, and recently started again at a normal dose. It wasn't immediate, but in the past 3 months since restarting testosterone, I feel better than I ever have in my whole life. I think that's debatable based on the rest of the post. But she says, it's like I didn't know I was living my whole life disassociating until I wasn't anymore. There's so many things I want to do and so many things I want to try because if I can transition, then anything is possible. Gosh, being set up for so much heartbreak here. But she continues, the problem is that now, about 4 months in, I'm really struggling with dysphoria. And so dysphoria is this feeling of discomfort, this feeling of anguish that, you know, can come from a lot of different things. But when we talk about gender dysphoria, it's from your gender being off. So that's what we mean by dysphoria. So again, the problem is now about 4 months in, I'm really struggling with dysphoria. If you asked me a year ago if I was dysphoric, I would tell you no. What I didn't realize was that I had created a disconnect between my body and my sense of self as a way to live with the fact that I was unhappy with being a woman. Now it's like 100 times worse. I'm short, 5 feet tall. I have big hips. I'm pretty effeminate, but I'm also gay, so I let that slide a bit. I'm getting a top surgery consult soon, but which is where you do a double mastectomy to remove your breasts. But I don't feel like it's going to help. I feel like I'm the ugliest, most disgusting looking girl alive, and I'll never be the man I want to be. I'm angry that I'm stuck this way when other people had the opportunities to transition sooner. I'm upset that I built an entire life around trying to be a woman, only to find it's not working for me. I have never been gendered properly. I even get misgendered when I wear pronoun pins. If I use the men's bathroom, people think they're in the wrong bathroom. I thought testosterone was supposed to make me less dysphoric. I thought that more I transitioned, the better I would feel. But if anything, I just feel worse. It's like how I see myself and the person I want to be is wholly unattainable, even with hormones, and I should just give up. I don't know what to do. I'm between therapists right now. Otherwise, I'd ask. I'm closeted and I can't bring myself to come out looking like the way I do now. How the F do I deal with this? I'm tired of forcing myself to look in the mirror and tell myself this is what a real man looks like. It's not about what a real man looks like. It's about what I want to look like. And I'm never going to achieve that. Gosh, like this just breaks my heart. And I wish so desperately right now I could tell this person, turn to Jesus. Jesus loves you. You were made in his image and God can restore your heart and your soul and your gender. You don't have to do this. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. But this person is miserable, said that I'm the ugliest woman I could ever imagine, and knows that this gender transitioning is not working, but is just, you know, doubling down on it, you know, probably going to have top surgery, remove her breasts. And, you know, what they're told is that you just need more of it. You need more affirmation. You need more of everything. That's what I was told when I was struggling with sexuality issues. Like, you just need more of it. Go further into the process, like come out and of the closet. And this person knows it's not working, but they think they have no other choice because the world has sold them this lie. And it is full of darkness and despair. And this is the type of despair that transitioning genders causes someone. This person has the body of a woman, said, you know, 5 feet tall, big hips, pretty effeminate. And they can't change that because that's who God created them to be. And they need Jesus. They need to understand that Jesus loves them. They need to understand that they are created in God's image and that they can be restored. And thankfully, I see people, you know, detransitioning all the time and finding that restoration. And that's what we should be praying for people. I hope that we can, you know, see stories like that and pray for these people, and that we can love them, that we can mourn the reality that they're living in right now. Unfortunately, they're turning to all the wrong sources for, you know, for their truth. I want to leave us today with just 4 spiritual thoughts. Like, how as Christians do we respond to just what's going on here and these influences in our culture and what's happening? As I was reading through some of these stories and just heartbroken over them, I just reminded what Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. And that's what I see in our culture right now is the blind leading the blind, and people like Cave Town who are leading others in that direction. And it's the blind leading the blind. It's people who are miserable leading other people into misery. I've seen that a lot with the concept of deconstruction, you know, people deconstructing their faith and usually end up walking away from Jesus and the church and their faith. And I've seen this for many, many years, people deconstructing, and many of them are like, you know, we're worship leaders, musicians, pastors. They're like, oh, I'm on this journey and I don't know what truth is, but follow me on this journey as I have no idea where I'm going with it. And I have no idea what truth is or how we can even know the truth. It's like, okay, so you're admitting that you're pretty blind and now you want other people to follow you on this journey to blindness. And so we shouldn't turn to other blind people. We need the truth of God's word. And Jesus was talking about the Pharisees here, but we still see that blindness everywhere in our culture. People who don't know what a woman is, and yet they're having so much influence and being put in, you know, positions of authority and power.
I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you would be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like.
The first observation is this is the blind leading the blind. Secondly, they are building their house on sinking sand. In Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, it says, everyone who then hears these words of mine does them will be wise, like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rain fell and when the floods came and when the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's what these identities and these ideologies are building people's lives on the sand. And it's so unstable, and it causes so much destruction, and it can't handle any type of adversity in their life. I talked a few weeks ago on the podcast about the emotional weakness that we're seeing, like this fragility in our culture. And it's because people's personalities, their hearts, their lives, their beliefs are built on their feelings. And building our life on our feelings is shifting sand. It can't hold anything. And then the first adversity, the first hardship comes along and washes us away, because it's nothing but sand. But people need a solid foundation, which is God's word, which is the truth of God's word, which is a foundation of who he is. When I see our kids, our teenagers, our young adults struggling with gender issues, it's like, gosh, like they need to be taught a foundation of who God is and who God made them to be. They need an identity that is unchanging. And they need an identity that doesn't change from day to day based on how they feel today. They need an identity in which they are grounded in knowing that I am made by the Lord. Every hair on my head is known and was made intentionally by a creator. And that is what they need the foundation of their life built on. And then when adversity comes, when, you know, they're uncomfortable with life, when hardship strikes, they're not turning to these blind guides and these ideologies that are built on lies that are leading them astray. And we see that it's, you know, making them miserable. And that's what happens when they build their life on something that is so shallow as just feelings or an escape. And so we need to lead them towards the truth. We need to help our kids build an identity that is based on Christ, that is never changing. There is peace and hope in that. And peace and hope is not something I see in the trans world. Maybe they have some temporary hope. They were putting their hope into the fact that, you know, transitioning can help them, but there's not that hope is later on shattered, but there's not a lot of peace. And we see that in these stories that I read today. We see that in the lyrics of Cave Town. The lyrics of Cave Town songs express just deep darkness and pain. There is not peace. And what she needs is the peace of Jesus. Third, a spiritual aspect I see that I think is important is that we need to identify the wolves and the sheep. There's so many in our culture who are leading people astray. And I think we need to be careful in not demonizing all people who are struggling. Some of them are just lost sheep. Even with Cave Town, this band, you know, or just single musician that has influenced so many in the wrong direction, she actually doesn't speak about her gender transition a lot. She has been recently. I have a picture here of Cave Town, and maybe this was, I think this was back in June. So I'll just share the screen here. And so here's Cave Town talking about gender transition and sharing these pictures of herself as a girl about and how it's painful to look at these pictures and can't even associate these pictures with who she is now, and looks at these pictures as maybe a sister and not as her. And that is how much dysfunction is going on in Cave Town's life. He says here that she's ashamed of the childhood pictures and would edit these pictures to make them look more like a boy because ashamed of the girliness in them. Gosh, how tragic that a child was ashamed of looking like a girl when she was a girl. That just shows the darkness, the lack of peace. But back to my point of wolves versus lost sheep, I see so much pain in Cave Town's story and in the music lyrics. And she has made some of these posts about, you know, this gender transition and gender dysphoria. But I don't see her as a wolf who is going after our kids, who is trying to convince them otherwise. She's sharing her pain through her music lyrics. And unfortunately, those lyrics are having a huge influence, and whether she intends or not. And, you know, she obviously knows that they're having that type of influence. But I don't see her as being a wolf. I see her being as a lost sheep, the blind leading the blind. This is a tragic case of a lost sheep who is finding hope in all the wrong places, who is in a massive amount of pain and torment, and other people are following, thinking that this route can be a escape from who they are and the answer to their problems. Where I do see wolves in our culture are the politicians who are pushing transgender issues. We see it in schools. You know, we've seen politics be inundated with trans issues recently. And I think we do need to be fighting against trans ideology in our culture. We need to be fighting against policies that are pushing it. We need to be fighting against, you know, laws like in Minnesota where they can take your child and give them a gender transition if the parents aren't on board with it. We need to fight the policies in our local schools that will, you know, help kids secretly transition their genders without parental involvement. The people leading you know, those policies, putting them in place, those are the wolves, and they need to be stopped. And then at the same time, many of the people who have transitioned genders are sheep who, don't get me wrong, they're sinners, but they're people who've been deceived. They're blind people who have followed the blind, and they deserve our compassion, and they need to hear truth, absolutely. But most of the time, the truth that they hear, that they're willing to listen to, is within relationships. And many times it's when they've come to their breaking point, when they come to a place where they've realized this isn't working. I wish that on this, you know, Reddit thread with this long, you know, response I read, I wish I was in a relationship with this person that I could tell them hope. I wish that they were my neighbor, my coworker, where I could share hope to them, the hope of the gospel. That's what they need. And so, you know, we denounce the state of the world we're living in, but don't shy away from opportunities to share hope with people around you who desperately need it. Maybe they're not willing to listen to it right now, but at some point they will come to their knees in despair. And they need a Christ follower to share the hope of the gospel. I know it seems impossible sometimes. It seems like, I think our responses are, we just want to shout at the top of our lungs. We want to disparage people on social media, which usually doesn't help. We want to just, you know, just isolate our families from the world. And yes, we do want to protect our families from the world, but we also need to disciple our kids to be able to live in the world and to process what's going on in the world. But lastly, I want to say, we just need to persevere. Like, God put us on this world for this moment as Christians, and we need to persevere in being salt and light to the world. This morning, I've been kind of struggling lately, a little bit depressed, feeling a little bit hopeless, feeling like, man, these issues are so big. Like, what do I even have to offer? And I shouldn't feel that way. I see God using Calvary Ministries in some amazing, amazing ways. And I see people finding hope. But this morning, I came out to my office and I opened my Bible and it opened up to the book of Jude. And it's like, oh man, like, it's been a long time since I've read the book of Jude. And I don't even remember everything that was in it. And it's a short book of the Bible, only, you know, a couple pages, page and a half. And so I read the whole thing and I was so encouraged. And I think that God had this passage for me in this moment to tell me to persevere. And I want to encourage you guys with that too. The entire book of Jude is about, you know, Paul's writing it to people falling into sin and the darkness that the world was experiencing. And they've given themselves over to all kinds of darkness. And it says in verse 4, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And so I think he's talking about people, you know, creeping into the church, which that is happening too with so many affirming churches and so much darkness happening within churches. Later on in verse 8 says, yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, blaspheme the glorious ones. Gosh, that describes so much of what is happening in our culture right now, especially with this darkness of gender issues. Like people blaspheming the glorious one, rejecting authority, defiling the flesh, relying on their dreams. Does that sound familiar? People relying on just things in their head, their feelings, what they're dreaming about their gender being. That's the type of darkness we're living in. But Paul closes this chapter, close to the end, by calling them to persevere. Verse 17 through verse 23 says this, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We should hate our sin. We should hate other people's sin. We should hate the darkness inside of us, but we have God's mercy and grace. And Paul is telling us here to Christians living in a world of darkness to persevere, that you have hope, that you have the love of God and the mercy of the Lord Jesus, that it leads to eternal life. And that should give us so much joy and hope as we navigate this world. And it says, for all the other people, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Gosh, what a moment we live in where we have the opportunity to snatch others out of the fire, to persevere, to apply wisdom to the world. And we are overwhelmed with darkness at times and this dysfunction of this world that we're living in. But God put us here to show mercy and to snatch others out of the fire. And help them find the hope that we found. So Christians, I beg of you to persevere. Parents, persevere in holding on to the truth. If your kids are struggling with gender dysphoria, show grace and mercy and love, but hold on to the truth. Don't buy into lies of the world that transitioning will give them any type of hope, because it doesn't. Their only hope comes from Jesus. Let's hold on to that hope. Let's display it. Let's share it. Let's love our neighbor and the lost people around us to help them find the one true source of hope, the place where they can build a solid foundation that can never be shaken or never be moved, and that's in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you guys joining us on this episode of Calibrate Conversations. As we end the year, I just want to say I'm thankful for so many people, thankful for so many ministry partners who partner with us and give every month. Some people give yearly. Calibrate Ministries is 100% funded by donors. And so if you're at a place at the end of the year to make a donation and help fund what we do, we really appreciate that. You can go to calibrateministries.com to donate there. Pray for us. Pray for God, that God would help me persevere. Pray for our team who works behind the scenes and doing so much. They do so much incredible work. It's a war zone out there in our culture, and we are on the front lines, and we appreciate you guys being a part of it too. And we pray for you also. Please reach out if there's anything that I can do for you or pray for you, and we appreciate your support. Thank you.